Well, again, welcome everyone out this morning to our services and appreciate the invitation. As I said in Bible class, I'm not really a preacher. I just do it part-time back home, and I'm a full-time principal. And some people say I'm not very good at that either. I don't know. It depends what parent you might talk to. But I do appreciate the invite, and Tony's goal, as I said, was to find someone who makes him look better. And that's why I was invited this week. And like Tony said, we kid each other back and forth. And he did our Tuesday nights for a while, and of course, kind of got his hands full and busy and couldn't do that. But we appreciated his efforts when he did that for us. And he's done meetings for us at Captina. Formerly Captina and Malott Ridge now have came together for about 18 months to make Washington Street in Bellsville. And good things have been happening there. We've had 11 baptisms, and we're growing in number and in faith, and being more encouraged by being in town. And two rural congregations who were struggling have come together in a better spot to do the work of the Lord there. And so it's been a great encouragement to be there. And when he asked me to do the meeting, I was happy to do that. You always hear great things about the congregation here. And he said, this is the big leagues for me, because Captina, you usually just preach, Dave could tell you. Sometimes you just have a few women there. That's why you had to preach. You're the only guy. You know, you do everything. And now that we've come together, of course, we have more men. But you always hear great things about the congregation here. And it's well known for standing for the truth and practicing the truth. And it's a great honor to preach to you guys and for you guys this week. So I appreciate the invitation. I told Tony, I don't know about this afternoon because I know you're having a potluck, but Alyssa's family is in and they're having a dinner at 1 o'clock. So we're kind of up against it with the situation. And Zach, her sister's husband, is preaching for me today. And so they're supposed to eat at 1. So if I'm there and leave or not there, I apologize for that in advance. You know how things go. It seems like everything happens at once. And so I regret that happening today. But I do appreciate the invitation and looking forward to the week of being with you guys. New beginnings in Jesus. You know, in life, we get messed up, don't we? It just, things happen we're not ready for. I know just the past few weeks, things have happened back home that I wasn't ready for, that the church wasn't ready for, and they're not always good. The left-hand turns that life takes, and people are going through many times hard things. We lose loved ones, and people question their faith. People get divorced, their spouse leaves them, they question their faith. People get caught up in the world and doing worldly things, and we forget God, we get busy. We leave God out of our lives and out of our families, and sometimes it seems like he's not even in the church by the things we do, or the way we talk, or the way we act. And we need restored sometimes. We need reformed. I appreciate Mark's songs and, you know, weaving the theme through those songs. We don't need reformed. We need restored back to the church of the Bible in our lives individually and as a church even. We've accepted sin many times and we're not worried about things we used to be worried about. Nobody talks about authority or repentance. People are giving up. People are leaving the church. And I know it's a major problem back home. I talked to one person and they said, I believe the church is all but done in Monroe County. And I hope that's not true. But there are churches that are struggling. There are churches that can barely keep the doors open. I know some places they can't find preaching. They can't find preachers. They've given up on evening services. They've given up on midweek Bible studies. They've all but given up everything. And in life, they have given up. There's no dedication to the Lord. Or others have just given up hope because even tonight, as we'll talk about, discouragement, it's a real thing. And working in the schools, you see it. You're around the kids. You see their home life. It's not good. And sometimes we're sheltered and we're in our own world. And being a principal, it opens my eyes to things that many times I don't even want to see. There's no wonder that there's confusion. And there's three generations of people who most likely have not hearkened the door of a church building. It's not been good. Not been good for anybody. But I think about my life and yours, and think about yourself this morning, that perhaps you need a new beginning. And think about where you were a year ago or a month ago. My dad's a basketball coach, and he's been coaching for a long time, and he talks to me and tells me things certain times from a basketball standpoint. But he said something once that I think we can relate to our spiritual lives. He said that every team he's ever coached has either gotten worse or they've gotten better. He said they've never stayed the same. No team at the beginning of the year, by the end of the year, has stayed the same. They've either gotten worse or they're much better. I think that's true spiritually, isn't it? How could any of us ever say, I'm the same as I was a year ago? We're not. Things happen. Life changes. We change. Our jobs change. Interests change. And so if I ask myself, is my daily Bible reading better than it was a year ago or worse? It's probably not the same. Is my church attendance better? Is the way I talk, my language, my conduct better? Or am I drifting? You know, you can sometimes feel yourself drifting. And do you once, maybe you felt on fire for the Lord at one time and you've lost that passion. Or you have sin in your life and you need a fresh start. Well, Jesus can give you that. You can come to the cross. Christ can do that. Jesus will offer to make all things new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 was our scripture reading this morning, but it's a powerful scripture. There are power in these words. Because Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We need that, don't we? Sometimes we just need that. We all need sometimes a new beginning. A time in our life where we stop and we look at our lives and we long for a newness. We long for a refreshing. A time when much of the world is lost in sin and without hope and without Jesus and hard times are coming in our lives. We have the message that we need to take to the world that in Christ you can have a new creation. You can have a new start. That's what Christianity is. That's the message that we need to take to the world. You think about our lives. Think about being born. Many children here. It's a great thing that in this church you're really blessed. Some places you don't see that. And we're born without sin. Then we live life. We start to make decisions. I know in junior high now, they do things that you probably don't even want to imagine. Much earlier than probably things used to be done. And the world that they live in is a hard world. But they begin to make choices and they give accountability to each other, but most importantly to the Lord. And once we know what sin is, once we know it, we have to decide from there how we're going to live. Once we're a Christian, more importantly, we put to death the things of the world. We're born again. And we thank God for that. We thank Jesus Christ for that. And then we eventually decide, Lord, I need times of refreshing. And an important thing to remember. You hear this all the time. Nobody is so lost that they can't be saved. There's some people you talk to and they think they're so far gone. They say, there's no hope. I've been through 3 marriages. I've ruined my life. There's hope. They're still breathing, right? There's still hope for them. Don't give up on people. There are some people that I wish they would come to the Lord and they haven't. Don't give up on them. Because Paul says, old things are passed away. All things are new. Think of your past sins. We all have them. They're gone. Think of your old way of life. And then think, that can be done away in Christ. I can have a new beginning. But the question is, do I want to change? Do I want it? Because I can have it. I think many people, they talk about it, but they don't really want it. Jesus says, you want it? Come and get it. You have to want to repent from that lifestyle. You have to want a new creation, a new life. In churches, in our country, repentance means we have to change. You can be forgiven. There's great power in that. Sometimes we look down on people. We went door to door in Bellsville. Larry was with me, Larry Pittman. He said, that's the last door to door I'm doing. We were going around. He was kind of joking about it, but you get these questions, you get people talk to you. That's where we need to be, though, down in the trenches, talking to people. And you see what they're dealing with. And sometimes you look at a certain person, we'd go buy a certain house, and I'd be like, maybe, Larry, you take that one. I'll go over here. We shouldn't be that way. Don't look down on people. They need Jesus. And so do we. Jesus never looked down on people, did he? He never did that. But we do, sometimes. We need to be more like Jesus. He offers a spiritual transformation. John chapter 3, if you would notice verses 1 through 5. John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5, this familiar account. John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Those are the words of Jesus. You see, it's not physical. Wasn't Nicodemus thinking physically like we do sometimes? But Jesus says it's spiritual. We have to think spiritually. We're programmed to think physically. We have to think spiritually. You may not see it, but you know it's there. The Lord says it's there. We trust Him. We may fill our life and be full of sin, and yet we can have a new start, a spiritual restoration. And so many people like Nicodemus, they just don't get it. They don't understand the concept. They're thinking physically. They're thinking in terms of the world. And the amazing thing is, though, Jesus says it can be yours. You want a better life? Put God first. That's just how it needs to be. Vince Lombardi, didn't he even said that? Faith Family Football. And her uncle, we just dedicated the field for him. He used to go to Captina. He would always say, put your faith first. Put God first. And put your family second, then third, put your job or whatever it is. And if you keep things in the proper order, you'll never have problems. Put God first. We don't do that. We put sports first, or we put our family even ahead of God, or our jobs or whatever we're doing, and then our lives get messed up. Put God first. Your life will be better. It's not always easy, but you're here. We're at services. We're here worshiping God. We're studying the Bible. Many of you have to get, well, especially Tony now, you get how many kids, you know, it's not easy. You got the church van, it's hard. But isn't that a great service to do that, to have children here? What a better place to be. It's to be commended. But we can be renewed. We can renew ourselves and our minds and have a new beginning in a world that's messed up. In a world that of broken families, of no regard to God, we can make a decision that we're not going to be that way. That we are going to put God first, regardless of what the world does, regardless of what's happening. The people have their lives so mixed up. There's students, the one girl, her dad just raped her. Imagine that. They just... And then we don't understand these things. Drugs. Students arrested in schools and slammed against the wall because of decisions they have made. And many times their lives are ruined, but yet God has a use for them. He has a great purpose for them. They could be the Lord's, regardless of their past, regardless of their age, regardless of your age. Christ has a great purpose for you. You're still breathing in His service. He has called us, young or old, to the ministry, to the calling. And so many who are in the gutter of alcoholism or drugs, or who have children with many different people, so many times you can't even keep track. They're lost, and yet the world has no answer for them. They think they may find it in the next bottle, or in the next party, or the one night stand, or the next person that they're with. They're not going to find it there, are they? They can only find it in Jesus Christ. It's the answer. It's plain and simple. The new man is created only in God. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, in verses 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 22 through 24. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's powerful. If you really think about it, that's powerful. Just read it again. You just read it slow. Sometimes I read it and let it sink in. Verse 22, you put off your former conduct. Put that off. The old man. The old man's growing corrupt according to the deceitful lusts of the world. But notice verse 23, it says that you are renewed. You're renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 22 already told us what we put off. But we know that anytime we put something off, we have to put something else on, don't we? And it says in verse 24 what that is. What do we put off? Your former conduct. Verse 24, what do you put on? The new man, created according to God. Only God can do that, not the world. It's only in Christ. You have to put one thing off to put another on. Set your mind and your soul on things that are good, but we have to want it. We have to want to change. There's some people, they just don't want to change. You can't make them. We all make that choice, but don't give up on them. As I said in Bible class, some people use your past against you. I see people do that all the time. We're all guilty of that. And they say, you used to do this, especially when you're in a small town like Bellsville. They say, why is that person here? I know what they did. They did this. Everyone knows everybody. More than likely, they're probably related. There's like two families. I don't know. Alyssa and I weren't related, so we got married. But, you know, they can use things against us and your former conduct. And I don't know how you answer that. All I could say is, yeah, that's true. But I've changed. Jesus changed me. Christ changed me. Don't be ashamed to tell him the truth, that I was like that. But in Christ, I have a new beginning. I've been forgiven. Don't be ashamed. Christ can change you. And now we have a living hope. And when we die, we can be made alive. It's a living hope. And then we need to act differently. Put off your former conduct. How should we act differently? How does the world act? Well, you know how the world acts. Get on Facebook for a little while. You see how the world acts. Walk around. It's not hard to see how the world acts. We need to be different. We need to put that off. We need to respond to bad things differently. Negative people, Christians, we respond to them differently. We're all around negative people. I'm around them a lot, and I just try to be positive, like overwhelm them, and sometimes it can get you down. So no, I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to respond to them differently. I'm not going to go down to their level. I'm going to rise above that. That's what Christ has called us to do. Put it in the hands of the Lord if you're going through hard times or if you're dealing with difficult people. Put it in God's hands. It's going to work out for good if we love Him. We are new. The old man is gone. The new is here. Don't think about your old life anymore. That's gone. Forget it. Don't let it haunt you. You want purpose? There's people that are restless. You notice that? They're restless in their life. There's students, there's adults, they're restless. They're trying to find a purpose. They're trying to find a new job. They're going to move out west, which is fine. But they say, I need to find myself. Or they're not finding it. They don't have peace of mind. But you know, when we become a Christian, we could lay down tonight and have no fear. If I don't wake up tomorrow and I'm a Christian, I'm going to be okay. Do you have that? That peace of mind that you can't even describe. If not, we need to change that, even before today is over. Before we or anyone else, however, can be made new, we have to realize we need to change. I keep saying that, but it's so true. That it's true in the school system that when you talk to a student, if they don't realize they have to change, you can't change them. You can tell them what to do, but if they don't think they need to do that or aren't convinced of why they need to do it, they're not going to do it. They have to know that they need to change. And we think of Paul. This is something that we all know this. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. Regardless of our past, we can be forgiven. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. We know that, don't we? We know that scripture. Think of what Paul did. If anybody could say, I could never be saved, it'd been Paul. He persecuted Christians. He was holding the robes as they stoned Stephen, a great servant of the Lord. And then he went on that road to Damascus. And he saw the Lord, the light from heaven. He changed. He was baptized. The Lord looked at Paul and said, I will use him in my ministry. And he became a great servant for Jesus Christ. It's true for you. You can be a great servant. Every single sinner in the world, if they turn to Jesus, that's why we're having gospel meetings. There's a great purpose in this. We need to preach the gospel. Preaching and teaching sinners the saving power of the blood of Jesus. There's no other hope than that. And Paul became, as we said, a great servant. Paul says, if the sinners had a chief, it'd be me. I'd be the captain of the sinners. You ever feel that way? I know people, they said, if I come into the church building, it's going to fall over. Captain was already, Dave could tell you, is already falling over. It had no foundation. So I said, it doesn't matter. I'd be the captain, Paul says. But he says, this is worthy of all acceptance. Think about that. This is worthy of all acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Think of that. Is that our mission? Is that our purpose? That's why Christ came. Go find a sinner. Get anywhere. Or look ourselves in the mirror. Maybe the worst person the world looks down on. Maybe somebody who gets made fun of. Or somebody even the church says they have no hope. We want nothing to do with them. Go find the very worst person you can find and look at them and think that's who Christ died to save. That's who he died for. He died for that sinner. That's powerful. Nobody else could do that. No one else had the power to do that. Paul and Peter. Peter denied Christ, yet he was used. David committed murder and adultery, and the Lord put those sins away. His life wasn't easy. It's kind of like a Greek tragedy after that. But he put those sins away. Could go on and on. And in the eyes of God, he died for every single person. Every person. That's who he died for, every single person. And when we see our sin, we need to realize we need to change, to repent, to make correction, to obey God in baptism, whatever we need to do to make the situation right. In John chapter 4, we think of this account, and we'll just look at a small portion of it. But we know the story of the woman at the well, and she saw the power of Jesus, and because of her great testimony, many others believed. And to that woman at the well, many thought she was the lowest of low. They thought she was the bottom. Nobody ever even wanted to talk to her or be around her. Yet Jesus did. Jesus served. He associated with sinners. He associated with the outcasts, the poor of society. And if you're living in sin, you still have a chance. Because he doesn't want you to be lost. But you won't always have that opportunity. You have it now. He conversed with this woman. He found out she had many husbands, and she finds out that this man knows so much about her, and she begins to put together in her mind as she goes and tells people in the town of Samaria that this could be the Messiah. He knows everything about me. But Jesus gave her a new life, a new start. I could imagine before she went there that she had no hope. But in John 4, notice verse 39, the result. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. You know, there's times, even in the ministry, we might feel like giving up. There's times, I can tell you, back home, I felt like giving up. When you have three women and you can't even have church because there's coons coming in the building. And you think, well, we might as well just give up. And yet we kept working. And you don't give up. Has anyone believed because of you? Because of your testimony? Because of your willingness to never quit? Because of your fire for the Lord? Just one person? Have they believed? Many of the Samaritans believed because of the woman, Verse 39. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, or we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. There's a great trend amongst those who are saved. The ones who seem to have no hope are many times the one that come to Jesus. And we need to tell others. That's why we love to preach. To tell others what Christ did for us. To look at the future. Jesus can change you. Jesus could change the leper's spots. And as we sing that song, he can melt the heart of stone. Don't look at someone and say, oh, they could never change. They thought that about Saul or Paul as he drug Christians to their death. And finally, the last few points here. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to this even in the Old Testament. Notice Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Think about this statement. He says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. The Ethiopian is naturally black. A leper naturally has spots. They are many. And just like that, to many people, their sins were their nature. But yet the Lord tells them, you can change. You can do good, even though your very nature may seem to be sinful. You can still change and do good. The sinner in the world can change, but only with Jesus. So we see people change throughout the Bible. The prophets called for new beginnings. Moses had a great message. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. Jesus came with a message of hope. The apostles continued that message, and we need to continue it today. That in Christ, we have a new beginning, a new hope. And you can find, just research it, Google it, new beginnings in Christ. You find scripture after scripture, new starts. We could spend a long time just looking at that. Lamentations chapter 3. In the Old Testament, written by Jeremiah, lamenting or mourning the fall and destruction of Jerusalem. They didn't want to listen to God. But I love this scripture, and I put the English Standard Version because I just like how it reads, and there's a song to this. Lamentations 3 in verse 22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Those are beautiful words, aren't they? That's something you could read every morning when you wake up and just let it sink in. We want to escape the punishment of the world, or we think about the Old Testament. There were many times that the judgments of God came, the flood, the Jerusalem, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of nations, the judgments of God in time. And we want to escape the punishment of God, but they're things that we have to do. And yet, in the same way, it says the mercies of the Lord. Think about that. The mercies of the Lord. His mercies never come to an end. We ask for mercy. We don't deserve it. We ask for it. We're sinners. God be merciful to us who are sinners. We need to pray and live this in our life. We need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves before God. Look at verse 22. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord. That's the love that we might not even understand. It never fails. We might fail. People might fail us. But the love of God doesn't. Verse 23 says, they are new. That's why I put that in here. Every morning, they are new. I think about that sometimes. That we just had a lady pass away, just not expected. In her 60s, seemed to be good health, and all of a sudden, she's gone. But you know, she left a great legacy, a spiritual legacy. And yet, we think of this every day I wake up, and the sun shines, and we have this beautiful weather that God blessed us with. We put our feet on the floor. We take another breath, another step, and we think, well, thank you, God. That's just powerful. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for a new day. And today, Every day that we wake up, every morning, the steadfast love of the Lord, His mercies never come to an end. Every morning, they are new. Every day is a new beginning in the Lord. It is a new day that He has given us. I think about breathing, and I think, I could never take another breath if it wasn't for God. I could never give myself, I don't have the power to give myself one more breath. Only God gives that to me. And yet He could take it away. It could be gone any time. I don't have that power. It's only in God that we live and move and have our very being. We can't do it. We can't take another step on our own. We need Jesus. We need God. We can't live to the world. And that's why we've said before, we need to be thankful for every day. It's not just a cliche. It's true. And we need to be thankful that we are in Christ. And if not, we need to get there. His faithfulness is great. Are we faithful to Him? He is faithful to us, even in the hard times. Therefore, I will hope not in the world, but I will hope in Jesus Christ. That's where I put my hope. My hope is in Him. Everything else, it might let you down. Humans, family, put it in Christ. Could we be more dedicated to the Lord? Could we be renewed? Even as we said in the old law, Israel was promised that new beginning. In the book of Ezekiel 11 in verse 19, He was a great watchman for Israel, pronounced judgment like Jeremiah and judgment on nations and those who troubled God's people and talked of rebuilding the city. And He says, I will give them one heart, Ezekiel 11 and verse 19, and I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. They had a heart problem. If someone has a heart problem, it's down to their very core. It's down to our very spirit. Sometimes we might even be here this morning and have a heart problem. Maybe we're not even interested. We don't really want to be here. It's a heart problem. It's not physical. It's in the heart. From the beginning of creation until the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, the judges, the prophets, the gospels, the epistles, Jesus, all of these, Jesus offers something new. And from the time man sinned, you think of that. The time man sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel, sin's run rampant, hasn't it? It just run through the entire world. God flooded the earth. That was a judgment of God, you know. The judgments of God happen throughout periods of time, actually. There'll be a great and final judgment, but God has judged in periods of time. The flood was actually a judgment of God. They didn't want to listen. Then God sent judges. They didn't want to listen. He sent prophets. Many times they didn't listen. Kings and nation divided. And He sent John the Baptist. He sent Jesus. They crucified Him. Because so few see a need for the forgiveness of sins. And so we need to think about the reservation of the world for the final destruction by fire. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We started today in 2 Corinthians 5. That chapter talks of a new beginning. But yet also of the judgment, but also of a new body in the same way. In 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter. You just read that and read about the resurrection. We'll also have a new body. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. You imagine that? A new body. Christ can reassemble our bodies, and I don't fully understand it. We were talking about it Tuesday night. I wish Tony was there Tuesday, because I was getting some ringers. We think about a new body, a new home. We don't always understand it, but we shall be like Him. We shall have a new body. This body isn't who we really are. It's our spirit. That's who we really are. It will be made perfect in a far better place than where we live now. A place without any sorrow. A place where we will live forever. And finally, we'll have a new home. Revelation 21 and verse 1 through 5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. You can make heaven your home. You can be made new. All of the hard times that you're going through will be worth it if you make Christ your Savior. It's much better than the alternative. And I really think it's going to be wonderful when we surround that throne of Christ. Think about that opening chorus. When all the saved of all generations surround the throne of Christ and sing that song. We want to be there. Don't miss it. So this morning, God's plan of salvation. If you have never done this, you should hear the word and believe. Repent, confess, and be baptized. And the scriptures are on the screen. But then remain faithful until death. Stay in the Lord. The baptism is the beginning of that life. If you have erred away and need the prayers of the church or public confession, or if there's anything you need help with at all, you can come to the front as together we stand and sing.